This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Hospital Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by two leaders, Travis Villani and John Lowry, both involved with the Physicians Hospital of Anadarko. The great story of the Physicians Hospital of Anadarko is that it's a critical access hospital that has thrived when many have not. And we're thrilled to hear their story and how they've done it and talk to us about that. We'll have you for about 15 minutes today. Travis, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Travis Villani. I got an undergrad degree in health sciences. I got a master's in health administration policy. I spent about 10 years at a large tertiary facility in Oklahoma City. Then I transitioned to Anadarko as a CEO for about almost 5 years now.
Fantastic. And John?
Hi, I'm John Lowry. My background is epidemiology and biostatistics. I have a master's degree in public health and spent 27 years in both state and county level public health. Retired 3 years ago as the chief of the chronic disease service at the Oklahoma State Department of Health, and have transitioned into critical access hospital management with the company.
Well, fantastic. And Travis, take a moment and tell us about your specific hospital.
Absolutely. So we are a 25-bed critical access hospital. We're located in a town of Anadarko within Oklahoma, as I previously discussed it. We've really transitioned the model of how we deliver care over the last 5 years. We went from a census from 0 to 2 to a census between 19 and today 25 patients. So really we've changed as time and the medical field evolves, hospitals evolve, regulations evolve, we had to evolve as well. So we've done a number of things to go from 0 to 2 patients to 19 to 25, and we can talk a little bit about some of the tactics that we've used in conjunction with First Physicians Capital Group to really hone in on ensuring that these critical access hospitals survive.
And so let me stop you on that, Travis, because that's really the great issue throughout our country. A lot of rural hospitals really struggling, a lot of urban hospitals really struggling. Tell us two or three things that you did that have worked, that have made this work.
Sure. We introduced a model, and it was basically we elevated the skill level and skill set of our clinicians, of our nurses, of our overall hospital staff. So that allowed us to admit additional types of patients, which we call medically complex patients. So as they filter from the larger tertiary facilities to the LTACs, we're able to take a lot of those patients that some of the other critical access hospitals don't have the capabilities to admit, and admit them to Anadarko and even two of our other sister hospitals. So that's really, in a nutshell, how we've done it. Of course, there was a lot to getting to this point, but just for instance,
talk for a moment, Travis, talk for a moment about raising the acuity level just a little bit has helped you greatly expand and make yourself more successful. Talk a little bit about how you did that and how you do that.
Sure. The first is really comes down to education and training staff, and you have to have the resources. So we brought in some specialists, some people who were kind of a higher level as far as the training that they previously had. We then created a training program that introduced skill sets from different types of patient populations to include wound care, TPN, and some other medically complex types patient encounters that we can accept. And of course, with First Physicians, they also introduced the capital to help us with bringing in the proper resources and equipment to do so.
And John, let me talk to you about this. You're this great career in public health, and talk for a moment about some of the ways that critical access hospitals can improve their situation? Because so many are struggling. John,
sure.
Give us a moment of your thoughts.
Yes. One of the things I think that I am most proud of is the ability for the local hospital to demonstrate a clear connection between social determinants, health disparities within their catchment, and their impact upon health. It's been a process to educate not only leadership, but to make the community aware that decisions that they make about their health are grounded in oftentimes knowledge or access to resources that aren't always financial resources. And so one of the things that we have done that I would encourage other critical access hospitals to do is to reach out for those partners that understand how to educate community members on opportunities to impact their health by putting health education, by putting strategies to work that allow them to have more control over their health outcomes. And the beauty of all of this is transitioning the idea of a brick and mortar hospital so that it actually exists within the community. So we oftentimes will teach these courses, these programs in the conference room of the hospital. And when that happens, you now have the walking well seeing their hospital as a source of health impact outside of just when I'm sick. So it's been a really positive thing that's occurred, and I think something that just about any critical access hospital could utilize.
And John, let me ask you a follow-up question to that, then I'll go to Travis. 60 seconds on what doesn't work in critical access hospitals. Why do critical access hospitals really struggle, and what's a mistake from management that you see sometimes?
So from my perspective, from the community benefit side, I think you have to first embrace the community and understand the hospital has to say we have a vested impact on the local community, and you've got to engage the community in a conversation so that there's a mutual agreement as to what needs to be addressed. It can't be a management down approach. It can't be a management, I have the solution, if you'll just do what I ask. There must be a dialogue that occurs between the hospital leadership, the community leadership, for a mutual benefit to occur.
And let me ask you a follow-up question. Is there ever a case where a critical access hospital tries to be things it shouldn't be? Any thoughts on that?
I'm sure there probably are, but I think if it's a critical access hospital, it's paying attention to the direction of healthcare delivery in the United States, especially in rural communities. That would be a great guidebook in order to make sure you're staying the course and not getting too far afield.
Fantastic. And Travis, some of your thoughts. We see so many critical access hospitals and small rural hospitals close and really struggle. Take a moment and talk to us about, are there things they shouldn't do that just don't work for critical access hospitals?
Right. So some of the things that I've seen just in Oklahoma and surrounding states, sometimes these facilities are waiting too long to make the change. So it's a matter of recognizing, okay, we might be in the red, it's time to make a change, and even reach out to some partners or specialists who can help make those changes. I've seen a lot of facilities that wait just a little too long and then they wind up in bankruptcy because they didn't act when they should have acted previously.
And talk about that, about delaying, not having urgency in trying to either decide there's the right services to offer or what they should do.
Yeah, so you know, a lot of these facilities have been functioning the same way for many years, and really they need to identify what skill sets they need to bring into the hospital to really make it thrive. not only on the medical front with bringing in some of the more complex patients to admit from larger facilities, but as John indicated, also on the community benefit side as far as partnering with the community, identifying the social determinants as far to better engage in that relationship with community leaders.
Fantastic. Thank you. You see a lot of critical access hospitals thrive, a lot struggle. Any further thoughts on the difference, Travis, and why some work, why some don't?
That's a great question. I think it goes down to the willingness of leadership to make the changes. They need to know where they're at and have a clear plan of where they want to go. And they need to engage the entities involved to get to their end goal, which is, you know, essentially admitting more community members within the hospital and also admitting patients from outside the facility. And they also just need to ask for help. You know, there's entities out there that, you know, a facility CEO, a board, a mayor, a city manager can ask for help. And that's one thing, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to struggle with is just realizing that there's a need and asking for help.
Why do men have such a harder time asking for help than women?
You're going to have to ask my wife that question.
we'll leave that for another discussion, but it seems
That's
to be
right.
A trend. Travis and John, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to congratulate you on your success. Really remarkable what you've done and wish you continued success with it. Just a great story of a critical access hospital thriving. We need more of it. Thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Great. Thanks for having us.